Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And Before I Leave is a book that compiles the stories and wisdom from six very different women who are all over the age of 80, whose thoughts and advice ultimately made a profound impact on the life of Minneapolis-based author Jenny Egertson. Jenny will be talking about her book this coming Monday as part of the Brown Bag Author Series at the Brainerd Public Library, and she's here with us now to tell us more about her book. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
Hey, you
Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. You interviewed six women all over the age of 80 for your book, Before I Leave. What was happening in your life that inspired you to dig into writing this book?
Well, you know, originally I thought it was all about getting to know the first woman I met, Maud Kelly, whom I had met in the summer of 2000, and I was so impressed by her poise and her sense of humor and her demeanor and her approach to life that I really wanted to see her again. And so I thought the book was about sharing her wisdom and advice. But I think the unconscious inspiration and what gave me the passion I needed to continue writing was the way my life was going. I was about to turn 46. I was terrified about aging, about how my face and body were changing. I was about to enter somewhat recklessly, I have to admit, a second go at an alcoholic marriage. Our teenage daughter was furious at us for doing that, and I think I desperately needed guidance. And didn't really realize that. Really didn't realize that that's what I needed.
You mentioned there was something about her demeanor and her approach to living that really struck a chord with you. What could you describe that a little bit?
Yes. The night I met her, I was with several other women around my age. We were all feminists. Two of them were actually professors. And so we were talking about what had happened to feminism. That was kind of a dirty word in the year 2000. And so when it came to Maud, she was just so calm and poised and resolved. And she had seen so much and learned so much. And it was a point of view I had never heard before. And I was angry. You know, how did she get to the point where she accepted things but kept, you know, fighting on her own behalf and others? And I just wanted to know more about that.
So what did you learn from her specifically?
Oh, well, you know, that you really have to believe in yourself to stand up for yourself. You really have to, you know, she really focused on communication. She had grown up in a very, very difficult family and, you know, lots of alcoholism. And she joined the military to get over that. And what she learned was that she gained a sense of herself and learned how to communicate and use that confidence on behalf of herself and others. And you didn't have to be angry in your approach. You just, you know, you had to have a strong sense of yourself. And I think that's what I gained from her and the other women.
So you did go on to interview five more women after Maud Kelly, and two of them are from your own family, your mother and your grandmother, but three others. Hallie Hendrieth Smith, she was one of the first black principals in the Minneapolis School District. Sadie Anton, a Lebanese woman, and Ruthie Yamamoto, she's Japanese American and has her own story. Could you talk about those women and kind of what you learned from them about, gosh, living in a culturally diverse experience? And we'll get to your mom and grandma later, but I'm kind of fascinated by this kind of ethnic cultural piece of the other three.
Yeah, well, Ruth Yamamoto was Japanese-American, and she had a pretty happy childhood, but then, you know, in the 40s, she and her husband were thrown into two separate internment camps, and that's where she bore a daughter and under horrible, inhumane conditions. But her approach to racism when she got out was not to march or be angry. She lived in a small community and decided that she would show people that she and her family were the same as everyone else. And she learned to play golf and taught golf to the children of the wealthy families who belonged to the country club in Painesville. So she demonstrated in a very, you know, I mean, it took a while, but she wanted to show them. And then Hallie Hendrieth Smith grew up in Selma, Alabama, in a black farming community, and just had a very stable childhood and didn't know about racism until she grew up And she just said, I am not the marching kind, but I will go to the source of the power. I will get to the decision makers, whether I go myself or find somebody who has influence, and we will get to the heart of the problem. And she did that over and over and over. It was just fascinating. Neither one of them, you know, they said, yes, of course we're angry, but figure out how to really make a difference. And it's not for everyone. Getting angry is not for everyone.
What about Sadie Anton?
You know, Sadie would not talk about racism with me. She, and that's because, but I thought that was interesting too. What she said, I would ask her questions and I would try to write about that in her chapter, and she would always block it out and say, my people came to the U.S. and took English language classes. We are true Americans. Mm-hmm. And that's what she wanted me to leave with. That's what she wanted to say. She didn't want to be questioned about that.
We're talking with Jenny Egertsen about her book, Before I Leave. It's a collection of wisdom of six women over the age of 80. Jenny's going to be at the Brainerd Library this Monday for the Brown Bag Lunch, the Brown Bag Author Series, excuse me. And Jenny, in a way, these women became mentors in terms of maybe how you navigate through the troubles in your life. What kinds of things do you carry with you that they taught you?
Yeah, I was really angry at the age of 46. And I just realized that it's okay to be angry. But once again, they all showed me that's not the only way to deal with a problem. Sometimes you have to be angry, and sometimes you have to confront right there with anger. But it isn't the only way to react to injustice. And they each had a different way to deal with adversity. And so I have all those tools now. I was always afraid of joining a community. I didn't, want to feel boxed in. And many of those women, I would say four of them, found their communities and their spiritual communities to be a real source of strength in their life. So I kind of lost my fear of that. And then I accept my age. I was so afraid of aging, what I would look like, what I would feel like, and they just didn't have that. And I saw that, instead of being afraid, I can try to be curious about what's next. And that's what I do. I'm curious about what's going to happen next. And it's pretty exciting.
Two of the women that you interviewed were your mother and your grandmother. I'm wondering, did anything surprise you when you got to into the interviews with them?
Well, my grandmother, I learned about her courtship with my grandfather. I thought they had just fallen instantly in love with each other, and it turns out she wasn't in love with him at first. But she, fell in love with him eventually, and, she kind of used her faith to do that. She was profoundly, deeply Christian, and so that was a big surprise, and I'm not sure my family knew about that either. And my mom was so wise about things I wasn't expecting. I asked her finally about child rearing, and the advice she gave me was so soothing and so beautiful. I should have known that about her, but I wished I had done that earlier.
What did she say about child rearing?
I said, Mom, what would your advice be? And she said, you really have to trust yourself. And you have to remember that you know your children better than anyone else. And so you have to believe in what you decide to do. If you think that, you need to do whatever you think is best and not be worried about what other people tell you they think you should do. That was a problem. She knew I was trying to raise a child within an alcoholic marriage. And at times I was really insecure about that. And she said, no, you have to believe in your decisions. And that was so soothing and helpful to me.
That's Jenny Egertsen. Her book, Before I Leave, is out right now, and she's going to be talking about it Monday in Brainerd. Jenny, I'm wondering so you've written this book. You have all this wisdom from these women who are 80 or older. What next for you? What are you going to do with this?
Well, it's interesting. Since I launched the book last fall, and have been talking to different audiences and listening to them, I've really become passionate about finding ways to expand the conversation and that exchange of wisdom across generations. I just see that every generation has wisdom to share, and I don't think we're using it. We're pretty separated from each other, just the way we live, and you know, we've kind of gotten away from the extended family, and older people especially are isolated. But I think women in their 80s, for example, who do they have to get advice from? Well, the 20-year-olds have some ideas and wisdom, and you know, who do the 40-year-olds go to? Well, they can go to the 80-year-olds, but people my age in their 60s could go to the 40-year-olds for different things. I've seen it happen, and I really want to find ways to facilitate that exchange of stories and wisdom and advice.
Excellent. That's just excellent. And it seems like there are so many common themes that we're living through, whether it's alcoholism, child rearing, sexism issues, racial stuff, and sharing of the stories from all those people can be so healing.
Yeah, that's what I found.
Thank you, Jenny Egertson. You can find Jenny at the Brainerd Library this coming Monday at noon, and you can find her book online, of course. It is called Before I Leave. It is a book full of wisdom from 6 women over the age of 80. Thanks, Jenny.
Thank you, Katie.
Area Voices Bye-bye. Is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.